Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of You Deserve Fresh Lettuce. I am your co-host, Rachel.
I'm Dahlia.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about the art of marriage. If you're not doing so already, please follow us on our social media at YDFL Podcast. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platforms, including
Alexa, we're also
Spotify,
Pandora, iHeartRadio, and we're on all podcast platforms,
including YouTube. So you can check us out on YouTube. We have a new sort of studio setup we've been talking to you about the last few episodes, and you can look at our facial expressions.
And our mannerisms.
If you are listening in one of the 28 countries around the world, thank you, thank you, thank you. And also head on over to YouTube in the comment section and come on in and join the conversation.
Yes. Subscribe, listen, and I always say share with three friends if you like what we gotta say. Or, you know, drop a little comment like Rachel just said.
Yes. All right, let's get into it. So, the art of marriage.
You
came across this really neat meme.
I did. Well, it's really like a message, right? It's for the people that are married. And I'm going to read it to you guys, and then we're going to do a little breakdown on it. And I think it's so important that you forget, because we've been married and we know what that looks like when you forget to say thank you, I love you, and having that state of gratitude. Yes. I was always gracious, though, so I don't know that I know that.
Sweet thing, sweet home Alabama.
Okay, so the art of marriage. Here it goes. A good marriage must be created in marriage. In a marriage, the little things are the big things. Okay. It's never being too old to hold hands. It's remembering to say, I love you, at least once a day. Mm-hmm. It is never going to sleep angry, which we've heard that. Yeah. It is speaking words of appreciation and demonstration of gratitude in very many thoughtful ways. It is having the capacity to forgive and forget. That's a tough one.
That's a toughie.
Yeah, it is giving each other an atmosphere in which each can grow. And it is only marrying the right partner. It is being the right partner. I guess it's if you marry the right partner, is being the right partner. Which, that's kind of a little bit of a nice
It's like
thing.
Become the man you want to marry, ladies.
Yeah, exactly. Or become the woman that you want him. Well, no, not like lesbian. Like, no lesbianist stuff. Come on.
If you're one of the Fast 15 men, don't do that.
Yeah. But I guess it's like, it's like the things that you were taught
it's
when
like
you were a kid, right?
Be more of what you look to attract, right?
Right.
If you can't say anything nice,
don't say it at all. Or if you have to express yourself and you have to say it. It's never what you say. It's always how you say it. So always remember, like, the delivery is so important. I always say that, like, your UPS, FedEx package is going to come broken at the door. You don't know how to deliver it correctly.
Yes.
And so it's always really important that when you do speak to someone, that it's with gratitude. Or if you don't like what they're doing, it's just a matter of really communicating in a way that isn't offensive. Like, you dumbass. You know, why did you take the trash out?
You know what? I learned this the hard way, but I learned it early on. And like we talked about, we were married before, and we made all the mistakes too. And at the end of the day, one of the things that I recognized when I was married that the other husbands would complain to my husband about was that the wives always came at them in a disappointed tone.
Okay.
And what that has now shown me, because we do this show, our algorithms show us all the people talking about relationships. And when I get the male content, it's really interesting, because it seems to be like, if you're a woman and you're just, really, you left your shoes there again, like, this disappointed tone, is almost like quiet quitting, ladies. It's like, you want him to be committed to the relationship, but you, when you're disappointed or disgusted in him over something simple, it's like you've given up on the commitment. It's almost like you lack the commitment. And you're not lacking the commitment, right? You're
right.
Like, I'm still here and I'm just trying to hold it together. But there's some kind of message
I
want to
say that with what you're saying, though, I want to say that I only can say this because I don't have a person in my life, but I do have my two young daughters. And they'll do things, right, where it's like they didn't take the dog out. And I'm like, seriously, you didn't take the dog out? Because it's an everyday occurrence. And so I can see how after a while, you know, imagine doing 10 years with this person. And it's like every time, like, they already know that the shoes. After a while, though, I will say, and we've said this before, is like you have to really make the determination, like, are you going to sabotage your marriage over the shoes? Because at the end of the day, that's what you're doing. You're chipping away at your marriage over some shoes.
It's a choose your battles wisely.
Exactly. And sometimes you're just like, I have to accept the man for doing that, because at the end of the day, he's all these other great things. Yes, he forgets to put the shoes away, But I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm just going to know this is part of, like, comes with the territory, comes yes. with the package. But if you are one of those people that just want to fight about everything, then, of course, you're going to, you know, talk about that. You're going to
find something wrong.
And then the famous toilet seat thing. Like, that thing. Gosh, like, I almost feel like the only fix to that is getting literally an electrical toilet seat that, like, opens up and closes. It just, it knows you're a woman or a man, and it just, like, already knows to, like, lift all the way up. Yeah, exactly. Knows how to, like, clean you up, like you said, like a bidet, like, okay, spritz you up.
Yes.
So that way you don't have nothing up your woo-ha. But anyway, that's another... That's another episode. But even just, like, not going to bed angry.
Yes.
You know, this is a very nice little passage that we found, which I love. But let's be real. Like, you've been married before, and I've been married before. And as much as grandma told you, never go to sleep mad. Yeah, but guess what? Sometimes you are mad, and it's going to take more than a night to just be like, okay, like, you know, maybe he was trifling and you forgave him. Like, you're not going to be like, honey bear, I know you're with the neighbor. But I'm still going to kiss you goodnight, like, till we figure it out tomorrow.
Tuck him in, like, ladies. Yeah, give him a kiss tonight.
You know, tuck him in. That's the hard part.
There is a woman who's a pastor. Her name is Joyce Meyer. She has a lot of books. I write fresh the week I got divorced. It was on that channel, TBN. Oh, I have no idea why. None of us ever watched Christian content like that. And there's this woman with a very masculine voice named Joyce Meyer.
She talks
about this. And she was talking about, you know, resentment and anger are like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And I was like, okay.
That's true.
And I needed to hear that because I was fresh on this divorce train. And then she told a story about how she used to get so mad at her husband that she would sleep all the way on the very edge of the bed. And she'd be like, ugh, like so mad, creating so much distance from him. And she goes, and he's over there sprawled out, snoring, having his best sleep ever.
He's ramming at the best REM of all REMs.
And she's purposely tossing and turning on this little edge of the bed and like pulling
the blankets,
making it known that she's aggravated and pissed off. And she said she even went as far as, like, you know, sleeping on the couch or the chair, and she was so inconvenienced and. And she then realized, what am I doing?
He doesn't even care.
Like, he doesn't care.
But you know what it is? Here's what it is with that, in my opinion, okay? Because I think that we as women, we are so analytical, methodical. We break down the text messages. We break down what he said and why he said and how he said. He literally said, no, thank you. And you're like, why? Oh. Does he not like that? Did he eat with someone else?
Oh.
Like, if it's dinner, right? Like, no, thank you, honey. It's like, why? You're giving yourself this crazy breakdown of, like, why he said no, thank you. Thank you. And it's just no thank you.
Okay, ladies, we fill in the gaps and they do not.
Yeah.
They say this, that's it. That's as far as, like, the thought went.
There is nothing more to it.
There's no story.
Have you noticed, for instance, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent. Have you noticed, for instance, someone texts you, right? Because, you know, we're single girls.
Lord, yeah.
And I'm like, hey, what do you think he meant by this? Blah, 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 blah,
and
blah,
we break
blah,
it
blah,
down.
Blah, blah, blah. And all he said is, meet you at 7. That's all he said.
Yeah.
He didn't get specific. He's not proposing. He's not doing any of those things. But, like, we're sitting there trying to get the breakdown. And that's how we went. We as women, okay.
We go completely
we
wrong.
Literally give the breakdown this way.
Yeah.
And so with what you're saying, I think it's important that, you know what? You understand that we are different human beings, kind of. We operate a little different than men.
We are very different.
And,
what do they say? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Yes.
And so I think that, you know, don't really, like, hone in on those things. So, yes, sometimes you should be able to just be like, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. I'm going to kiss them goodnight and we're going to make up. There are things that are really difficult to say, I'm going to kiss them goodnight. Because, like I said, if you are going through something really tough, I know that we just did an episode where it's like past tense is nonsense, yes. But it's really hard to try to get back to
when the past is like 7 o'clock this morning and
yes,
7 o'clock at night,
yes,
and you're like, I'm
like,
just not there
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, it's 12 hours. It's 12
okay,
hours
so
deep.
I don't usually take it to the SEX conversation, but I'm
okay.
gonna do it on this one.
Okay.
So you're mad at him. You guys got this whole tiff or whatever. It's just some BS, or whatever. But you know, you're feeling kind of frisky, like, and it's sitting there. Do you use it? Do you jump on them?
Well, if you don't use it, you lose it.
You know what I mean? So I had this kind of, my, I was of the school of thought that I didn't have to be getting along with him necessarily to like do what I needed to do or whatever. And some women would be like, what? Well, why wouldn't you just grab your tic-tac-toes or whatever? Yeah. To go take care of that. And I'm like, because I got the real thing right there. And I'm sure that that was very confusing and everything. But going the whole don't go to bed mad, like I think that that's kind of, ladies, get yourself to the point where if that's what you have to do, is be like, well, here, it's in the room, and it's mine. I mean, I married it, and, like, this is what I'm going to do. He might get so thrown
I mean,
off.
At the end of the day, I would like to disagree with you, but I would totally agree with you, Rachel. I'd be like, you know what? It's, what does Cardi B say? It's the makeup sex, I guess.
You know
it's
what
like
I mean?
The best kind. I don't know. So, I mean,
like, I get that we're supposed to communicate. And, like,
yeah,
talk
I
about,
mean, that's part of communication, I suppose.
Yeah,
right?
you
got to communicate
mean?
In that
and
way,
And by the
too.
Way, it's not like you're going to wake up the next morning and make him eggs and omelets
well,
or whatever.
You probably
like,
will.
You may be. I mean, probably.
Probably.
You probably will. But you're going to be cracking
those eggs, still pissed off. No, crack the eggs, put a little eggshell in there. Okay, like, it's going to be a little crunchy for you this morning.
Crunchy waffle. Or whatever. Crunchy omelet, yeah.
But, okay, so there's that. And then there's also, by the way, that you're not too old to hold hands. That's kind of cute. I do like that.
I love that.
I think that's cute. I like that.
Okay, were you a hand holder?
No, I'd be lucky if I got called babe. Someone called me babe, I'm like... Who's calling me babe?
She comes, I think I'm getting married. I think he's going to propose.
You're like, bitch, you're 7 years deep. Like, what are you talking about? But no, I think it's nice. I think that's really nice.
I didn't
and
have hand-holding either.
I really didn't either. You know what? Also, by the way, it's not on the list, but I'm going to talk about it. The kissing. Once a certain, you know, once you've been married for quite a while, you no longer do, like, the boyfriend-girlfriend kiss, right?
I love the kissing.
Like, it's like, get off me, dude. Like, did you brush your... You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that I was like that, but I noticed that once people get to a certain age, just pecking. Like, just
the romantic kissing. Like,
the romantic
kissing,
yeah. It's kind of gone. And so I think that a lot of the times we get used to the mundane relationship of like day to day, like, oh, here he is, or oh, here she is, and the breakfast in the morning and the dinner, and you know, it just becomes very repetitive, and like you forget why you married the person and why you love the person.
It's true. Now, you know what? I've never thought of that, because if you really think about it, you do. You go, oh, good morning, oh, hey, okay, we're back,
yeah,
okay. But to the passionate kissing, that's the stuff that you were doing when you were dating, you're right. And
exactly.
Like, that's the stuff that kind of moves you
right.
and gives you butterflies or whatever. And then when you don't have that as much in your marriage or during sexy time or whatever, like, you're right.
I wonder if it's because, like, once you're married, it's like you almost skip that part and you go straight to what you got
to
do. Because sometimes,
Cirque
like,
du Soleil.
Yeah, you know, you do a little Cirque du Soleil and then you're done and then that's it, right? And then, but a lot of the time, I think that people forget that is one. Sometimes you don't even have to have sex. It's so intimate, right?
Yeah.
And so people forget about connecting in that regard. That we just, you know, we get so caught up.
Yeah,
on
like
the
I just
day-to-day.
Forgot like that. I didn't have. I just forgot that I forgot.
That you didn't have
that. That we didn't have that. That I didn't have
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and you forget to, like again, the hand-holding, right? Like,
yes.
You're going to an amusement park. It's nice to
you know
still
what it
be
is? It's
kiddish.
Like you become friends with benefits, but you live together.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
like, if
like
I had
roommate,
to really think about the
like
energy.
Roommate-y.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that at the end of the day, like, I know that, you know that we get the calls at 2, 3 in the morning, and I always try to have like these regressions with these people, literally, because that's what it is. It's like having a regression.
Like a past life regression.
For
yeah.
sure. And you have to go back to a moment in time. Like, do you remember what it was like when you first met this person? And it's like, yeah, the night that you were going to go out on Saturday night. What was that like for you? What did that look
like
for
you? Yeah, but
you
know what? We have toxicas watching. They're going to be like, yeah, but that's before I knew he was a mother effer for my neighbor or whatever.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. No, I know. And but see, that's the thing. Because we're such... Sometimes they're toxicos
yes.
and we're toxicas, and then we're like, no, screw that, because you know what? That back then I used to take care of myself, and now he doesn't even say that I look pretty, blah, blah. Get up and look good for yourself. Don't
just
get up and look good
for yourself.
Give
yourself the compliments that you want him to
but
give you.
But at the end of the day, I do think that we forget. We forget, you know, when we were going to go on a trip when we weren't living together, like, what that looked like, and making sure that you got, like, that bathing suit that looked super freaking hot and sexy, and, like, that cute little dress, the little, you know, the high heels, lingerie. Forget about those things.
I'm going to take it further, because this is a thing that I know we've mentioned in the past, but this is a recurring thing that I keep seeing, and by the way, in family relationships, sometimes in friendships, some in marital relationships.
Yeah.
if you want him to be more affectionate with you, don't go slamming the pots and pans and the cabinets and creating distance and right. going silent on the dude.
Right.
He's not going to read your mind and then chase you to be affectionate. And then if he does, don't go, don't touch me or just leave me alone. Like,
yeah.
don't do the opposite of what you want because men are so literal.
Literal.
They're taking what you're literally saying. They're making decisions based mm-hmm. on what you're literally saying and doing. If you want more affection, lean in and give him the affection. Go sit on his lap. Go put your arm around him. Just go up and give him a kiss really quick. Yes, you want him to notice you and come up and initiate, of course.
Who doesn't?
But you teach people how to treat you. And so at the end of the day, and I guess we still want to be chaste in the marriage. But don't do these toxic things. We're all guilty of it, I think.
For sure.
To try to get his attention. So he comes over and goes, babe, what's wrong? I mean, come here, babe. Let me hug you. Because now you're like, no, you're just hugging me because you know that I'm upset that you're not hugging me. So give the thing that you're looking to receive.
Exactly.
If you miss him, like, you know, maybe you used to do lunches together when you were dating and you're married 3 years and now you don't even meet up or hear whatever. It's just a phone call. Like, go show up at his work. I mean, proceed with caution.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if that's good advice.
Surprise him with a homemade lunch or whatever it is. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is lean in on the things. Take action on the things that you wish to receive.
Exactly.
And then that's what you end up doing is showing him what you like. And fellas, if you're one of the Fab 15 men that are listening, understand that everything the woman is doing for you, it's technically what she wants to receive from you. Like, almost everything she's doing, she's like, oh, babe, like, if she draws a bath for you and puts, like, me, technically speaking, it's like she wants someone to do that for her.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of signs that she's giving you of what she wants.
There's that infamous book, the Love Languages, Seven Love Languages or whatever. There might be more nowadays. I don't know. Yeah. There's people with multiple personalities. And, right?
Not the schizophrenics.
For sure.
We are an equal opportunity podcast, okay. Ladies and gentlemen.
But I do think that is important that you guys do speak similar languages or you understand the languages. Like, for me, I know that, like, whenever I've taken that test, by the way, man, that I think that's why I'm
bipolar
saying this.
Disorder.
Like, seriously. Like, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, it's showing up as this now.
She's and like, I want all the things. Yeah, like, check all the boxes. Let's go.
On period.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that you understand, like, if your husband likes for, you know, he likes to do things around the house. And, you know, and you
the
might
service.
And the He's service, acts
yeah,
of service.
Acts of service.
And then you think he doesn't know how to fix anything. You're like, you just F everything up. And then but that's how he shows up to the world.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're literally like belittling the guy. And
yeah.
just give him an opportunity and just be like, babe, you know, I think we need to call a professional. Because you clog the toilet more.
Okay.
You know? So I think it's those things that sometimes we do. We don't realize that we're doing it, by the way. I think once you're in the marriage, like, I don't know that you realize that you're being
you're right. You're in it. You're in the storm.
You don't realize
it's too close. It's too close to you. You can't see. It's like people from the distance can probably see.
Yeah.
You know how you have a tone. I've been where I've walked into a dinner, and next thing you know, the husband is, you know, back with his friends, and the wife's like, ugh, let me guess, you've been drinking again. That is so common, by the way. I grew up seeing
that. Oh, my gosh,
is
it ever?
It's, like,
so
common. And then it's like, and the guy's all, like, instantly walked in and got shamed, you know, because he had a few beers or whatever the situation was. We know as women, there's probably a package deal that came with that act of drinking
right.
that is triggering the woman. It's not just the drinking, right?
Right, of course.
There's something else with it. So we understand.
Well, I mean, I think from my, this is really going on a tangent, and this is what I personally, because I'm around a lot of people that I've noticed, is like, and this is not everyone, and please don't come for me.
Watch out.
Yes, don't come for me. You know, if the guy is drinking a lot, okay, then the guys all want to go to the restroom because this is what I've seen, by the way. And guess what they're all doing? There's some of...
I'm about to learn today. I recognize in this moment right now, I am about to learn what the men are all going together to the restroom to do.
Stop. They're doing goo.
Okay.
Not each other.
Okay. With you, Delia, and your soccer team families and, like, whatever's happening, like, I have no idea.
Seriously. That's what they all go to the restroom. Not all of them. Not always. That's what they do. And guess what? We get another person with another personality. And maybe you don't know that your husband does this, by the way. And
so
I know
they come
this
out
of
the bathroom and now they're totally different?
Now they're totally different. Okay. Maybe they get more violent. Maybe they get more aggressive. Maybe they get more like asshole.
Daring. And they're like, daring. Let's go skydiving.
They're trying to do freaking the things. I'm not saying all of them, by the way. I personally don't think there's an issue if my significant other wants a drink, if he can keep his composure. Because there are women too, by the way, that are like, I didn't know I was drunk. And then they take their whole entire, all their clothes, and they're up on a table. And it's like, how did you not know?
Tequila that, Tequila Tara.
Even then though, like, you know, you have to know how to keep your composure. So with the men, with that being said, I'm not saying all men do coke if you drink, by the way. I'm not saying that. Yeah. Don't come at me. But a lot of them do, and some of them, the women have an issue because they don't know that that's what their husbands are doing, and that's why their freaking personality changes, pupils get really big, and they get crazy. Okay. So sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. They just like to drink beer, and that's just it. They're just, you know, hanging out with their buds. But I think a lot of the time, it depends on what you saw when you were growing up, by the way. Like, if your mom had an issue with it, with your dad drinking or whatever, the likelihood of you having the same issue is very likely because that's what you saw growing up. And you're like, well, my mom used to throw a freaking big ass fit over it. I'm going to throw a big fit over it.
There's a lot of things that you have to ask yourself. How much of this is pre-programming from your childhood?
Is it me?
The
reactions?
Do I actually care on this level?
Right.
Or am I thinking I'm supposed to care? Am I programmed to care?
Right.
Or is this genuinely me?
Is this something that really bothers me?
Yeah.
Or is it because I saw this growing up? Like, this really bothered my mom. Like, there you go, drinking again. And I think that that's, I want to say that that is like the most belittling way to talk to your partner, to be like, are you doing that again? Again, if the guy's flipping, acting like the exorcist after, you know, he goes to the restroom, he's drinking a lot. Okay, caution. Then I get it. But if he's not doing that, why do you got to come at him like that?
Oh, my God.
There's no need for it.
So I think if you're coming at him with a disappointed tone, if you're coming at him kind of condescending like he's a child, I think those are the things, ladies, that energetically you don't want to be in that position. That's not the wavelength you want to be in anyways.
No.
You're like, oh, I don't want to be like his mom. But then that's the energy, that's the role you're taking on. And you're saying, yeah, Rachel, but it's because he won't pick up his jacket from the chair. Like, leave it. Like, at the end of the day, insanity, what do they say? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So you're continuing to nag or do whatever and expecting it to motivate him to change or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the things I did, if you're saying, hey, your guy is messy or whatever, and one of the things I did, and I talk about this on the Rachel Unpacked podcast, like, early on, is I said, look, he would come home and just be like, I had the little baby with the toys, and he goes, oh, my God, the house is always a mess. And I'm thinking, what the heck, like, no, everything's clean. It's just toys. So what I started to do, and it's not the, I don't pursue a caution. Maybe don't try this at home. Maybe do try it. So I wanted to kind of see for myself. I'm like, am I messy? Like, am I really not doing my part? Because the dishes are done. So I started cleaning everything except for what he uses or leaves. Mm-hmm. I kind of did this. I was like married like 5 years. Mm. And I went on this mission and I did it for like a week.
Okay.
And so literally like the 8th day, 7th day, one day he comes and he looks around and goes, oh my God, this place, Rachel, how can you even live here all day like this with whatever? And I said, I had the baby and I look and I go, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's all your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now, by the way, there was stuff everywhere. There was like cups on the counter.
That was
and, like,
his cup from Monday.
Shoes by
it's
the
now
stairs.
Saturday.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was like, that's his, I'm gonna leave it. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. He looked around, all the stuff, shirt hanging from the bar stools, like, and then all of a sudden his eyes like adjusted and he realized his newspaper at the time, because all day, I mean, he'd get the newspaper and it was like right there, a whole pile of it on the side of the sofa.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, like, just stuff. And I left it. And it was hard for me to do because, you know, I want to be a good wife and I want to keep it tidy and
keep
nice.
It clean.
And I did that. And it wasn't out of spite. It was out of genuine curiosity for myself,
like,
of like,
how messy you truly are.
Like, is it me?
Is it me?
Yeah. And so anyways, he was like kind of shook
kind of
as I said, he was floored, and then he kind of got mad. He's like, oh, so you just leave my stuff? So I was still the bad guy.
Yeah.
But he went and cleaned up everything, but I never heard it again.
Oh.
And actually, I like never heard that complaint
again. I think it's really difficult when, you know, there's a drawer and you know that you want certain spoons there, and then all of a sudden you open the drawer and now there's forks, now there's knives. And then I have to take the moment to take those out and put this here, and the cups and the mugs go here and the cups go there, and then they just don't care. I know that's really hard, but I think at the end of the day, you got to pick and choose your battles, as they say, because it's really easy to just live your life miserably. And I think it's rather than honing in on what he isn't doing, hone in on the things that he does do.
Yes.
And I think
focus
that's what happens. We forget, like, that, you know what, he gets up every morning, no matter if he's sick, and he goes to work, and he does this, and he's a provider, and he's a protector, and he's all those things. If that's the case, right? Because I know everyone's unique and what have you. But for the most part, there's always a good quality in every person. Yes. That's why you marry the person. So hone in on that rather it's than like honing in on the negative.
Nurture the thing. There's a saying that says, I think it's like Paul Thiel or something. He says, where your focus goes, energy flows.
Always.
And so if you want, focus on what you want more of. Okay, so if you focus on the negative, you're going to get more of it. Like if you have a child and you just keep on reprimanding that child for every you react every time they do something wrong, you're going to get more of that from the child because the child just
and that's why they don't care.
They're like that's what gives
they don't care.
They get attention. Kids just want attention. Mm-hmm. Human beings just want attention.
Exactly.
So if you're giving them attention for doing negative things, you're going to get more of that, things, right? Yeah. Because that's what you're investing your attention on. So if you want more positive things, literally identify the good little things he took out the trash. Like, thank you so much, babe. Like, you put a new bag in there. Like, it could be the simplest thing. You could be like, that's his job.
I hate when I hear that. Well, that's his job. He needs to do that. Well, that's your job. You know, I think that if you guys are coming together as a team, there's no such thing as that's your job, that's his job. You understand that it is more of a male thing to do to take out the trash, yes. But, you know, you can still do it. Or, you know, I know that we're Latina, so we were raised to serve the man his plate. And that is part of the way, I guess, we were conditioned.
We're
and
very into the gender roles, I think, of Latinas.
I think that that's what it is, And I think that when I go out with friends and it's like, well, he has hands, he has feet, he can do it himself. If that's your love language and that's your flow and he's okay with it, I'm not saying that you're right or wrong. But I think at the end of the day, it's not to point out the obvious.
Yeah.
Right? Don't point out the obvious. Like, you don't need to be disrespectful to say that. Just say, hey, honey, I made dinner. It's on the stove. Whenever you're ready to eat, it's there. If you choose not to serve him, right? Because if that's your flow, I get it. So if there's a way to communicate without having to be rude, to be like, well, you have hands and feet.
And I think not only how you're saying the tone, I think it's like the public thing, like in public. And I'm guilty of
that's
it.
True.
Like, I'm a bit of a roaster. We've talked about this. Yeah. Like, we've been experiencing here and there, like some roasting just from being on social media, right? And I grew up around a lot of roasters. My father was a roaster. My mother was very sarcastic. And everything, it's fun. It's fine. Yeah. Everything. So you enter into a relationship with someone and you're like, oh my God. Like, and you like roast them. And I don't even want to give examples because I might give it away of who. But at the end of the day, it's like you have to be mindful of, like, if it's playful between you and him, you know, behind closed doors, like the kids aren't around, whatever, you guys, he could be like, really? Well, you got big feet or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you guys could joke back and forth. But I think as ladies, you might be so funny and playful with your man like that. But be mindful, though, who's around. Because is it his coworkers? Is it the neighbors? Is it another husband? Like, is it his friends? Like, men want to
feel... I mean, there's a time and place for everything, as they say,
men want to feel very respected. And women want to feel very included a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be very mindful of the difference,
right? I agree with
you 100%.
I 100% agree with you. I'm a roaster, too. So I know, like, there's time and place for everything.
Yeah.
And there's times where, you know, you got to break the ice and you'll see something kind of funny.
Yeah.
But it kind of, you know, splashes your partner.
It
because
don't
obviously,
too well.
Yeah, because obviously you're talking smack about him. And then it's like everyone else is laughing, you know, but it's on behalf of your significant other.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, I think the art of marriage is actually a very beautiful thing. If you remember to hold hands, to love, to be in gratitude.
Kiss passionately.
To remember why you went down the path of marriage. And some of you might say, I don't know, that was the worst decision I ever made.
Oh.
I hope to God that it's not. But just remember that, you know what, you chose this person for a reason.
The grass is greener where you water it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, don't be fooled by what you see on social media. It's not always what you see isn't always what you get.
Nope.
It's sometimes a little bit of filters, a little bit of splash of sparkle, and it's not real. So just remember that, you know what, love always wins. And this is our episode, and we broke it down, got you all confused, and this is the art of marriage.
We'll see you next week, and remember, you deserve fresh lettuce.
Cheers.